Good morning. Welcome to each of you to the Lord's house on this first Sunday of our Advent season. We'd like to encourage everyone to please sign the attendance register at the end of the pew and pass it on down the row for your neighbors to sign as well. If this is your first time at Berry Christian Church this morning, we want to say a special word of welcome to you, and we'd like to invite you to visit with us at the back of the church following our service today. We'll be back there shaking some hands. If you would kindly drop by and let us know this is your first time with us, we'd be very honored to share a small gift with you before you leave today. There is a flyer to make contributions for poinsettias that will be adorning our sanctuary next few weeks in honor or memory of loved ones and friends. That is inside your Sunday bulletin. If you would please fill out the form and include a check and place it in the offering plate later in this morning's service. Today is the deadline to order those poinsettias. Please read through the information in your bulletin announcement page to learn more about the warmth tree, the food pantry drive, the Christmas card, and of course the all-church catered Christmas party, which will be this coming Saturday, December 7th. Tickets for the Christmas party are on sale back in the foyer. The 2020 contribution envelopes for those of you who have requested them are also available on a table back in the foyer. If you would please pick yours up and then mark your name off the list after you pick it up. And our thanks once again to Nanette Krause for serving as our organist while Lenora is visiting family over the Thanksgiving weekend. Nanette's been with us many times. She's like family here, so welcome again, Nanette. Thank you for being here this morning. And Kathy would like to share a few words with us. Kathy.
Good morning. Just wanted to let everyone know that the December schedule for our volunteers is done hanging up various places in the church. If you'd please check that and make sure you're not one of the people that needs to be helping out. Also, parents, I have not received information sheets for our children back. We need to have these back. This has any health concerns, any emergency contact numbers. I really need to have these so that we can file them. If you don't have one, if it didn't manage to get to your house, I've got more. Please see me after service and I'll make sure you get some. Also, our songs that the children need to learn for their Christmas program, if you need a copy of that, I've got that as well. Thank you.
Please rise for the call to worship. Every good gift and every perfect present comes from heaven. Who does not change or cause darkness by turning? So that we should have first place among all his creatures. Let us sing hymn number 150, all stanzas.
Sing glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies, with the angelic host proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord. Late in time behold him come, offspring of the Virgin's womb. Veiled in flesh the Godhead see, hail the incarnate Deity. Please in flesh with us to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace, hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Mild he lays his glory by, born that we no more may die. Born to raise us from the earth, born to give a second birth. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King.
Thank you, Eli and Giovanni Jacobo, for being our acolytes this morning. How cute was that, folks? Let me bow in a word of prayer. Loving God, guide us as we begin our Advent journey together today. We await the birth of the Christ child, and we anticipate the joy of that birth. Merciful God, we ask for your presence as we begin our service this morning, and especially we seek the hope and the joy that this season intends for us. Be with us now as our worship begins. In the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, amen. Please take a few moments to greet and welcome those around you.
One of the ways we celebrate the beginning of the Advent season is gathering around the Advent wreath. The circular pattern of the wreath and the evergreen garland remind us that our assurance of life everlasting comes from God's grace through our Son, or His Son, and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We can see here on our Advent wreath that three of the candles are the color blue. Blue is considered a color for hope. Sometimes you'll see these particular candles in the color of purple. That is for the royalty of Christ. You can see also that there is on the third weekly candle a violet candle. This color is the color for repentance. And of course, the center candle, the largest one, is the Christ candle. It is white because it celebrates Christ's purity. The meaning behind each candle can certainly change from year to year. And this year, we are again celebrating the idea that our first candle is the candle of waiting. And it is being lit by Paige Jones and Kathy Gorman.
As Christmas Day approaches, even as our hearts grow with anticipation for the many experiences we've prepared for the big day, children and adults alike wish the day would come and come soon. Yet as our first candle of the Advent wreath is called the candle of waiting, we know that wisdom and insight is gained as we wait patiently for the presence of the Christ child. We can only imagine how difficult it was for Mary to wait for the Christ's birth as she was jostled about, riding atop a donkey for a 90-mile journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem. We can only imagine how the nation of Israel waited centuries for the birth of the Messiah. For those suffering through all the pain of illness, or for the lonely enduring the absence of loved ones, waiting can at times be excruciating.
But as we light this morning's candle of waiting, we embrace the assurances that God's word gives us as we wait patiently. Be patient. For Isaiah 40:31 reminds us that they will wait upon the Lord. They will wait upon the Lord. Reminds us that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint.
Come surely, Lord Jesus, as dawn follows night. Our hearts long to greet you as roses the light. Salvation, draw near us, our vision engage. One candle is lit for the hope of the age.
All right, kiddos, come on up for the children's sermon as we sing the first stanza of Tell Me the Stories of Jesus.
Tell me the stories of Jesus I love to hear. Things I would ask him to tell me if he were here. Scenes by the wayside, tales of the sea. Stories of Jesus, tell them to me.
Snoopy, too. Thanks for bringing Snoopy, because he's my favorite dog. So, today is the very first day of December, isn't it? Right. And here at church, we're also celebrating Advent. Can anybody tell me what Advent is all about? Yeah, my dear.
The Christ of when Jesus was born.
Yeah, we're waiting for Jesus' birth, right? When is Jesus? When do we celebrate Jesus' birth?
Christmas.
Christmas, December 25th, right? But you can't wait, can ya? No, right. And so what happens at your house at Christmas? You gotta have, something happens at your house at Christmas, right?
Snow.
Snow. Well, we hope for snow sometimes. Sometimes we don't.
In our house, we sit at the table and we drink hot cocoa and talk about the Bible.
Ah, hot cocoa, Bible.
Yes. And when we go to sleep, Santa comes.
Santa comes. And what does he do?
Give us presents.
He gives you presents, right. And so what does that make you feel when you get a present?
Happy.
Happy. What other kind of feelings maybe? Thankful? Grateful? Great. And so, do you give presents at Christmas?
Yes.
You do? It is to give presents. It's what?
If people give you presents, if it's your birthday.
Oh, well, okay. Well, it's Jesus' birthday right now. But so tell me what it feels like when you give a present away. Not when you get one, but when you give it away.
You feel grateful and joyful.
It makes you feel good inside, doesn't it? Because why? Because they're happy to receive it?
Because you're giving others things.
It makes you happy, doesn't it? It makes you feel good inside. So how do you think Jesus would feel if you gave him a gift?
Happy.
Yes, happy, joyful. Yes. So can you think of some kind of gift you'd give Jesus? What kind of gift would you give Jesus? Do you think Jesus would want a toy? What about some of these silent kind of gifts, the kind of gifts you don't wrap up? Maybe. What would that be?
Giovanni?
Like, money?
Like love? Maybe.
Maybe a prayer for someone?
Yes, you could say a prayer for someone. That would make Jesus' heart really warm and happy, wouldn't it? And that's what we want to do. And you know, we don't have to do that just at Christmas, do we? We can do it all year round. And that's what would make Jesus' heart really sing, is if we did kind and nice and friendly things for all those around us every day of the year. So, you know, God gave us the greatest gift of all. He gave us his Son, who brought us love and peace and joy. And he would love to see you celebrate that birthday by giving your love and your peace and your joy to others every day. So let's say a little prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for these precious children. Thank you for all that you give to them, and may they give to others the kind of joy that you give to them and to all of us. In your precious Son's name, amen.
As we go to God in prayer, a number of people for us to remember. Klaus would like for us to remember his sister, Angela, and boyfriend, Brad, as Brad's father passed away this past week. Also, Ed and Shirley Keel normally attend this particular service, and Ed had to be hospitalized this past week for a few days as he dealing with some health concerns as a consequence of a fall. So please remember Ed and Shirley in your prayers. Gail Roller, who normally attends the 8:30 service, is going to be having a double mastectomy surgery on Tuesday of this week. So please remember Gail and Curtis in your prayers. Rihanna Ralston continues to be in our prayers, as well as Jill Gregory and Betty Barnes and Emily Boswell, Grace Kimmerling, Michelle Jacobo and her family, Jerry and Peggy Treese's daughter, June, Klaus and Connie Stark's daughter, Marissa. And we remember a number of people in Ted's family as we've been lifting them up, and certainly Arlita White's sister, Mary Triplett. These and others continue to be in our prayers day by day. May we bow our heads before the Lord's presence this morning. Merciful and loving God, it is with wonder in our hearts that we experience the unfolding of the Advent season with the lighting of the first candle of the Advent wreath, this year called the Candle of Waiting, and as we sing familiar carols that warm our hearts. And on this first Advent Sunday, as we pause to consider the glory of your presence expressed through the birth of your Son and our Savior Jesus, we find ourselves rejoicing greatly because of your profound love for us, one and all. And as the Old Testament text of Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9 proclaims, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation." And as we consider the star that shone above the city of Bethlehem, leading the wise men to the infant Jesus, we too recognize that you have always desired to provide us with signs of your infinite plan for humanity and for our salvation. And although we may find ourselves troubled by personal challenges, and even as we mourn for others suffering so profoundly at the hand of evil in our world, we still, in humble adoration of the Christ child, seek after the peace, comfort, and assurance that we know comes from your presence. We find this assurance in the text of Jeremiah chapter 23, which says, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness throughout the land." Guide us this new week, O God, as we offer this prayer on behalf of the people of God, and as we remember how our Lord Jesus teaches us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And Nathan, we thank you for reading our scripture this morning again.
Good morning. And now we're in the Advent season. Merry Christmas. Our scripture lesson this morning comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. So let us open our hearts and prepare to hear God's message for us this morning. "Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were enticed and led astray to idols that could not speak. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, 'Let Jesus be cursed.' And no one can say, 'Jesus is Lord,' except by the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing. And by the same Spirit, to another, working miracles. To another, prophecy. to another the discernment of spirits, to another the various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All of these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually, just as the Spirit chooses. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your message this morning and for the gifts you've given each one of us. Help us find ways to use those gifts to help all those who are in need. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
The trivia question for the day is, what was considered to be the very first suburban shopping center in the United States? First suburban shopping center. Oh, now, folks, the 8:30 service folks got this real quick. Think Kansas City. The Plaza. The Plaza is it. You got it. That's right. It's the Plaza. And as most Kansas Cityans probably know, the lighting of the Plaza, which is done each year on Thanksgiving evening, started with rather modest beginnings when in 1925, the maintenance supervisor for the Nicholas Company hung Christmas lights on the Mill Creek building for the very first time. From the humble string of a few lights, a 90-year-old tradition was begun that now delights thousands of people every year. But considering the light of Christ that brings forth the revelation of God's salvation, the Advent season reminds us that it was through the humble beginning of a child's birth in a lonely stable outside of Bethlehem that the living light of God's presence in Christ shone forth throughout the world. As Jesus later said of himself in John chapter 8, verse 12, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. This we celebrate as we turn to our communion hymn this morning. It's number 165. We'll sing stanzas 1 and 4 of Once in Royal David's City.
Once in royal David's city stood a lowly cattle shed, where a mother laid her baby in a manger for his bed. Mary was that mother mild, Jesus Christ, her little child. And our eyes at last shall see him through his own redeeming love. For that child who seemed so helpless lives and reigns in heaven above. And he leads his children on to the place where he is gone.
As we gather at the Lord's table, we again remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them, saying, This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me. And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. May we bow our heads as Anna leads us in a word of prayer.
Lord, as we prepare to celebrate the birth of your Son, we are filled with renewed hope, like shepherds in the field looking for a star that lights our way. We are thankful for his life. These emblems represent his love for us, and Lord, let our souls be filled with hope as we take these emblems. In Jesus' name, amen.
And these are the gifts of God for the people of God. We welcome you to share this morning. Stephen F. Austin College from Nacogdoches, Texas, pulled off one of the biggest upsets in college basketball history when it beat number one Duke University 85-83. When the Lumberjacks' Nathan Bain got the ball, ran down the court, and staged a buzzer-beating layup with nary a second to spare. But maybe the real story is how Nathan Bain's notoriety helped save the church and school run by Bain's father, a pastor in the Bahamas. The Bain family lost all of their personal possessions, and the church and school were badly damaged by Hurricane Dorian. A GoFundMe site had only raised about $2,000, with the last donation having been contributed over a month before the famous basketball game. But as Nathan Bain's famous shot went viral, so did the story of the family's plight in the Bahamas, and new donations started rolling in, amounting to over $100,000 by Wednesday of this past week. The Bain story reminds us that when folks learn of a significant need, the American people are so often willing and eager to meet the need. And so it is that we know the Bain's church and school will be rebuilt. And we celebrate that generosity, as we also celebrate the generosity of the members of our congregation and the members of congregations all over the nation, who make sure that the needs of our churches are provided for week after week. With these thoughts in mind, Lana leads us in a word of prayer as we receive our tithes and offerings.
Dear Heavenly Father, as we come now to take these gifts and offerings, we just thank you for another beautiful season of hope. And we ask that you would bless those who are so gratefully giving, so generously giving, and ask that you would bless those who are graciously receiving. And for most of all, that you would help those people receiving to know that there is hope, that there is love, and it's available through you. We ask these things in your precious name. Amen.
Lord God, we pray this offering is used for your glory now and always. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. Please be seated. May we have a word of prayer. Gracious and holy God, we are indeed grateful for the privilege to be in your house and to know that we are privileged to offer up great gifts for the common good. In Christ's name, we offer this prayer in thanksgiving. Amen. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 reminds us that we are created in the image of God. And with that in mind, we understand that there certainly are a lot of human traits that when we are in our best form, we certainly do express many godly ways. And as we are now in the season we call Advent, certainly chief among those godly traits is this notion that God loves to give of himself for the benefit of humanity. For we know that God's love has always been so great that despite humanity's rebellion, God freely gave the blessing of his Son's presence here on earth, not only so that we could see God in a human way, but also so Christ became that final sacrificial lamb for the forgiveness of our sins, that we may be blessed with the gift of life eternal. As Titus chapter 2, verse 14 says, he gave himself, meaning Jesus. Jesus gave himself for us to rescue us from all wickedness and to make us a pure people who belong to him alone and are eager to do good. And so, if there ever was one thing that is the greatest blessing for the common good, it's got to be our salvation, right? But you know, one thing I think that is quite unique is that the generosity of God, expressed through his Son, certainly is so succinctly expressed by the way people also, when they're in their best form, are eager to do good for others, to offer up of themselves simply for the common good, right? And you know, that sense of joy that a person receives simply by giving of themselves was so vividly illustrated to me just a few days before Thanksgiving. It was one of those days, you know, you've had those days, one of those days, right? When you say to yourself, okay, after this happened, what's next? Because you have just been filled up with enough frustration about having so many things come up that are out of the ordinary routine, things that are a lot of trouble, a lot of stuff to deal with. And then, goodness sakes, one more thing happens. Well, for me, that particular morning, I was just going about my normal routine. And one thing I was doing is I took my glasses, washed them in the sink there in the bathroom, and there is a particular cloth towel that I use for nothing except wiping off my glasses. Because you know what they say, don't use a paper towel on your glasses, it'll make them scratch. Don't use anything with grit on it, it'll scratch your lenses, right? So I have one towel, hangs just in one spot. I don't wipe my hands on that, all I do is I use that one towel to wipe off my glasses to start off the day. And here I am, wiping off my glasses, and snap! And I'm looking, and I got a lens in one hand and the glass frames in the other, and I'm thinking, okay, what's next? At that point, I had just about reached the limit of odd and end things that I knew I was going to have to deal with. But at that moment, when you already know you have a string of issues to deal with, you know then right in that moment you got another problem to solve, don't you? And you start going through the routine ideas about what you're going to have to go through. You know you need a pair of glasses, and you certainly can't run around with one eye closed and the other one trying to see what's going on. You can't do that for very long now, can you? You get out that old pair of glasses. Nope. You're looking at this computer screen. The bifocals just don't quite work very good. Right? After all, that's why you got the new pair. Right?
Oh, schedule an appointment and pay for an optometrist. It's just before Thanksgiving. That's going to take some time. And we got a trip that we got to make, right? Oh, find an eyeglass shop and order new glasses. Some states, they won't let you make a prescription on an old pair. Did you know that? Is that the way Missouri is? I don't know. And, you know, if you buy another pair of glasses, it ain't going to be cheap. Because what? You have bifocals, right? Trifocals, maybe. And, of course, if you're going to have to get new glasses, you can't just get one pair because you also need the pair of glasses that you can use for when you're riding around in the sunny days. Because goodness knows you don't want to run into anything, right? Oh, we just don't need this happening just before Thanksgiving. Oh, maybe I can just dab a little bit of super glue on the lens. Put that, you know, hold that up. Nah, the better part of wisdom says, nah, I'll get super glue not only all over my fingers, but all over that lens. We just have to find an eyeglass shop and plead our case. And that's what I did. I rummaged through our files, found the eyeglass shop that I thought Carrie had probably gone there. I think she had, so I thought, going through the files, eyeglasses, you know. And yeah, oh, here it is. I can go there. And I went, I sat down with my broken pair of eyeglasses, and I pleaded my case. Is there any way that you can fix these so that I don't have to get new glasses? The holidays are coming, and well, I'm sure you've heard the rest of the story. Calmly, the woman across the counter looked at my meager, broken pair, and she asked, well, do you have a few minutes to wait? Oh, yes. I've got plenty of time to wait because I'm not going anywhere because I can't see. You know? Oh, yes, I can wait. But they're 5 years old. Can you really fix them? Oh, yes. It won't take but a few minutes. If you'll just wait here, I'll be right back. And she disappeared. But relief flooded my consciousness. Maybe there's redemption for my broken pair of eyeglasses. Shortly thereafter, my eyeglass savior came back and sat opposite the counter before me. With a grand smile, she handed me my repaired and brightly cleaned glasses, which I eagerly tried on while I was looking smartly in the mirror before me. They not only fit well, they were incredibly clean. Far better. I don't know how they do it, but I can't get mine that clean even if I use just the same old cloth. How wonderful, I exclaimed. What do I owe you for saving me? She reached both of her hands across the counter, and with a grand smile on her face, she said, you've already paid me with your thank you. And when she reached her hands out like this, I just reached right on back and we just clasped hands together in a very human way. And I was so grateful that this woman had done something that had relieved me of one more. What's next? Kind of thing. There's still work, see? But what I know most is this. Yes, it probably is a policy of that particular store that they just fix glasses in the fact that mine actually could be fixed much simpler than I thought they could be. I knew I couldn't fix them in all the tools I got. I wasn't going to fix them right. But they could. And they did, for free. Maybe that's company policy. Maybe that gives her the opportunity to do that. And for that, I'm grateful. Another place might have charged me. They didn't. But what I noticed most of all about this particular woman is that it thrilled her to simply be able to give of herself to another human being. And when she reached her hands out across that counter and allowed me the opportunity to just take her hands and say, thank you, I knew I was talking and visiting with a profoundly genuine person, a child of God. Because all of that she didn't need to do, but she wanted to, right? Giving of ourselves. It really is the essence of who we are as human beings. And so when we look at the text that you have before you that Nathan read, it is from the book of 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. There are a lot of different gifts that Paul talks about there in that text. But the portion of the text that stood out for me most of all is that Paul talks about the fact that those gifts are what he calls in verse 7 of chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, manifestations of the Spirit. For what? For the common good. Just to make life better for everyone. And so, you know, here we are, the season of Advent. We know that God gives of Himself, even to the point of our salvation, that we celebrate in the Advent season. But maybe what you and I ought to be about the task of doing is offering up of ourselves simply for the common good. Maybe it's a phone call you need to make to someone. Maybe it's paying for that cup of coffee that you see the person has and who's in line just behind you. Maybe it's doing something for your neighbor just because. You know, the list goes on and on. But all the gifts we offer truly are manifestations of the Spirit for the common good. Do you know Christ? If He's not your Lord and Savior, maybe today is that day you need to come forward and accept Christ in a way I know your life can be transformed. Or maybe today is that day for you to come forward and become a part of our fellowship. I extend the invitation as we turn to our hymn of invitation. It's number 159. There's a song in the air. Stanzas 1 and 3, please. 1 and 3 of There's a Song in the Air.
There's a song in the air, there's a star in the sky, there's a mother's deep prayer, and a baby's low cry. And the star rains its fire while the angel choir sings, for the manger of Bethlehem cradles a king. We rejoice in the light, and we echo the song that comes down through the night from the heavenly throng. And we welcome the glorious gospel they bring, and we greet in the cradle our Savior and King.
Thank you so much for being in the Lord's house this morning. We're running a little bit late, but thankfully the Chiefs aren't playing till 3 or 3:30, something like that, right? So you got a little wiggle room here. A couple of things to remember. One, the Christmas dinner is this coming Saturday. Today's the last day to get your tickets, and I'm not sure who's back there now. Barbara was back there earlier today, but there's, you know, ticket sales are on the back if you'd like to get your tickets. And, of course, today is also the last day for the signing up for the poinsettias so that Carol can get that order placed. Blessings be with each of you as we journey forward with the new week. May we pray. Lord God, we give thanks for the privilege to be of service to your kingdom by offering up gifts of ourselves for the benefit of the common good. Guide us in that task as we journey forward with the new week. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen.
As with gladness ages hold, did the guiding star behold. As with joy they hailed its light, leading onward beaming bright. So true morning star may we evermore your splendor see. As they offered gifts most rare at the manger plain and bare, so may we with holy joy, pure and free from sin's alloy, all our costliest treasures bring, Christ to you from whom they spring.